Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the NomCom review working party, or rather implementation planning team meeting on Thursday, the 30th of August, 2018 at 2000 UTC. On the call at the moment, we have Nadira Al-Arraj, Tom Barrett, Sherling Zanour, and a mystery number ending on 3026. And then from staff, we have a larger contingency today. It's Angie Graves, Yvette Guignol, Jennifer Bryce, Larissa Gernick, and Samantha Eisner, and myself, Lars Hoffman. With that, I'm going to advance to the next slide, which is the agenda for today. Already to halfway through, so I guess that's good news. Admin items are next. Just a quick reminder to everyone, I think there's no problem this time around, that audio via the Adobe Connect is rather unstable, so if you can at all, please dial in using the little receiver icon up on the top, two icons to the left of the little person that raised his hand, for you to raise your hand. The next point is the Google Documents. I reached out to the group to sign up for an external Google Drive where we can share the documents that kind of have the outcome of the calls saved on them, so people can comment rather than using Word files, which is what we've done in the past. I think everybody, apart from two or three people, have signed up, and I think those two or three had troubles because they didn't have a Google account. We're working at the moment. But just for the record, there are still one or two people who cannot access them, but we will make sure that that works out. And if you've got any questions about the drive or anything else, do not hesitate to reach out any time on this or off. I'm going to paste the link to the Google Drive also in the chat here. You should have received an email with a welcome note. And I believe Angie will be, after this call, sending out a quick kind of how-to guide. Nothing dramatic, just a single slide to help those people who are maybe not that familiar with Google Documents through the jungle of that interface. Do you have any questions on that at this moment? And I see, Yvette, just very quickly, that Ariu has joined the call as well. Just so we make sure that gets onto the list. I see now hands up. That's always good news. The next point is any other business. We've got a couple of points I just want to raise with everybody. We noted that on the last call, we put in a request for a session for the IPT at ICANN 63 in Barcelona. We have booked that for Sunday preliminarily, 10:30 a.m. local time, and we've also coordinated, just to make there was a question about that last week, coordinated with the NomCom support staff, and they will do their very best to make sure that the NomCom has no conflicting meeting at that time, so they should be able to attend as well, which obviously is, I think, good news. There's another point. Tom, you raised that during previous calls about the assessment of the prior review. We received some information from the analysis group who kindly sent us their notes, although the work had officially been concluded, and that is pasted on the wiki page under the final report section. Angie is typing. I suspect strongly that she'll be pasting a link into the chat in just a moment. Then finally, also, as we discussed in the last call, just to tick off that that action item, we were asked to invite the SO and ACs and the stakeholder group and constituencies in Barcelona whether they had time and wanted to receive a quick update from the IPT leadership team, and obviously any members are most certainly welcome as well to attend those sessions. That's gone out to all the chairs. We had already a few positive answers. And so once we have kind of a timetable established, we will share that with this group as well so that everybody knows if they wanted to attend one of those sessions, that they can, when they will take place. Just as a quick note, they'd be of, you know, the length will depend on the community group, however much time they allocate to this update, and the time and date itself obviously is also determined by them. So it might very well clash with any of your personal sessions, but as you I'm sure can appreciate, there's nothing we could do about that timing, obviously, because the SLACs and the stakeholder constituencies and the railers who make that determination. Right. Now that I've rattled off on the admin stuff and any other business, do you have any questions, either on what I just said or on the documents from last week? They were circulated on list, I think, a couple of days ago and are now also, as I just said, on the wiki, on the Google Drive. And other than that, I would suggest we move to the next agenda item. Tom, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Lars. This is Tom Barrett. I did want to point out it was great to get this assessment from the IE about the prior review. That was one of the deliverables we wanted to make sure it wasn't overlooked. So I think as part of our periodic scorecard that we want to get out, let's include a blurb about that, because I don't think the community has seen that before. So certainly we want to, I think, that's been out there and perhaps invite people to respond to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We can get that going and then obviously run that by you, but that we can get that started. Thank you for that. All right, very good. And with that, I will move on to the next item. We have, as you may recall, last week concluded the recommendations on the board and the community. So this week we're going to tackle an ambitious 6 recommendations related to the NOMCOM charter. And so you may recall, just a quick reminder, we're going to just quickly read through the issues and then the recommendations, see whether we have people who can't consent to them, and then see if there's any clarifying comments or concerns or anything else that people would like to add for the record, or whether indeed they don't consent to the recommendation of the issue outright. Right, off we go. This is recommendation 7. The underlying issue that was identified by the analysis group was that the NOMCOM term length of 1 year, even if often renewed for a second year, may not allow for sufficient learning and engagement of members. According recommendation that NOMCOM members, except for leadership positions, should serve 2-year terms and be limited to a maximum of 2 terms, presumably each term of 2 years, so 4 years in total. Do we have anybody who can outright oppose, I suppose, or not submit their consent to this recommendation? And in addition, does anybody have any question, comments, or concerns about this? All right. The working assumption in the past has been that silence means consent. So if there's nobody who has any concerns about this, we would assume that the group can consent to both the issue and the recommendation as they stand. Tom, please.
So I'm in favor of the issue, which is a 1 year is not sufficient time. So I think a 2-year term makes a lot of sense. Now, historically, or currently, you're allowed to run after 1 year, but you are term limited after 2 years. So this actually makes 2 changes to the current policy, going from a 1-year term to a 2-year term, but that also says you're allowed to serve basically 4 concurrent years instead of the current 2 years. And so there's really I certainly support the recommendation, but I think that second part might be an issue for some people.
Thank you, Tom, for that. Nadira just mentioned that in the chat that it would be good for the two terms not to follow each other. So, Nadira, do you mean what I call the Putin arrangement? So you serve for 2 years, then you go away, and then you come back 2 years later? Yes. Okay.
We're not supposed to be political here, Lars.
I think it was an interesting statement. I think even the president of the Republic of Russia couldn't argue that. but I noted. Thanks. Does anybody agree with that? Do you have any thoughts on that? What Nadira just suggested. So basically, you know, the 4 years essentially couldn't be served consecutively, but you could come back at a later point and serve another 2-year term. Would that be a qualification that people agree to, or are there concerns with that? I see that Banda agrees in the chat. Anybody else? Tom, Cheryl? Banda agrees. Do you have any suggestion? Are you? And it is typing. I'm just going to wait. Thomas, is it in your hand? We're just going to wait for adding your
So I would support the 2-year terms, but not the ability to serve a second 2-year term. But in terms of how many non-consecutive terms, I'm not sure I have an issue. So if you wanted to serve 2 years, sit out 2 years, or 2 more years, sit out 2 years, that'd be tougher to police. But certainly, I'm not sure the idea of a four-year term makes a lot of sense.
I mean, there's a possibility in some organization where you have, Tom, and just to float this, that you have a 2-year term and then you can renew it if you wanted to by 1 year, right? Nadira has her arm up as well. Hand, rather. Nadira, please go ahead.
Yeah. Can I? Yes. Okay. Regarding the consecutive terms, I think it will be away from the community. It's because the role, it's kind of demanding from the members. So it's kind of for a certain period, for it will be so long for the member not to contribute to be part of the community if it's like 4 years consecutively. That's why I prefer it to have a break, like at least 1 year, or to go back to the community and connect and even get closer to what the updates, what's going on. That's my point of view. Thank you.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you for that. We have, I'm just reading the chat at the same time. Ariu seems to be supportive of 2 non-consecutive terms of 2 years. Shell obviously thinks it's an important point that India just raised. Vanda also agrees, Tom as well. Okay, non-consecutive. And Tom, I think it's something I appreciate what you say, obviously, that it might be difficult to police, but I don't think it'd be prohibitive, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, very good. If there's no other comments, that seems fairly straightforward. And Tom, for everybody, we've raised a quick point off list with us after we send out those documents. We just want to make sure that everybody is aware that we're gonna put into those documents. So following this discussion, we would say that the working group agrees or contends to the issue. The IPT also contends to the recommendation, and then they seek a qualification or an amendment to the recommendation, let's say, that basically would enter the non-consecutive in there and be limited to a maximum of two non-consecutive terms, essentially. Whether that's be done by modifying the recommendation or just adding clarifying a note, as we've done in the past, it's essentially up to you, and I think the preference of the group is the latter, so that's what we will do. If anybody disagrees with that, can we just have a hand raise, or you can just do a shout out or type in the chat? Otherwise, we will move on to the next point. All right, very good. Since there is an agreement, that brings us to a very small and short recommendation 8. The issue identified here by the independent examiner is that the current size of the NOMCOM is appropriate. And then the recommendation, kind of following on from that, to maintain the current size of the nominating committee. Right. So, same as before. Do you have any concerns, any questions, any qualifications to this? Nadira, please go ahead.
Yeah, my question, I can't remember that if it's still talking about the voting or non-voting, or it has another recommendation for it. The maintain the current size of non-com voting and non-voting members. Because I can't remember.
There's another recommendation that addresses the issue of voting numbers. So this one is really just about the overall size of the membership and unrelated to voting or any other rights.
Good. Thank you.
Of course. And Angie just confirmed that it was in the chat. Okay. Silence, which I suppose in this case is a good sign. Do we have anybody who does not consent to either issue a recommendation and does not consent to keeping both as they are for the purpose of the work of this group, the feasibility assessment and initial implementation plan chart? It's going swimmingly today. Since we have no objections there, I'm going to move on. Very good. Recommendation 9. Nadira, here's your chance. The issue is that there is a concern over the role and participation of non-voting members of the NOMCOM, one assumes, and the recommendation being that all NOMCOM members should be fully participating and voting members, except for the NOMCOM leadership. Nadira, please go ahead. Nadira, I'm not sure whether you're on mute. We can't hear you at the moment.
No, sorry, it's by mistake.
Okay, there we are. We can hear you now. You didn't have your hand raised. It was a mistake to raise the hand.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, does anybody have any concerns about this or any comments or questions? Tom, please.
Hi, this is Tom Barrett, for the record. So one of the things I want to make sure we do as we go through these recommendations is to also review the public comments that have been received, and just to so that we're aware of what the various public commenters have said about some of these recommendations. So, for example, I'm just sharing this with the group. The business constituency's comment on this one was that they do not support the position. And the reason is that since the NOMCOM does not fill council seats on SSAC, RSSAC, and GAC, the NOMCOM representatives from these advisory committees should not have voting rights. And so, I mean, that's their position, and I don't have a summary of what the other public commenters have said, but I'm interested what people think of that position. Let's pick one, say SSAC. You know, should the SSAC NOMCOM rep be precluded from voting because the NOMCOM is not filling seats on the SSAC? Or is that, you know, do you feel like that's a relevant point or not a relevant point?
Tom, maybe you can answer this because I have to admit I cannot. Is the SSAC currently voting?
No, I'm sorry. SSAC and RSSAC are not currently voting.
And the GAC neither, I presume.
Well, the GAC has an empty seat, which they've never filled. So that's kind of another topic.
Thank you. That's helpful. Ariel, your hand is up.
Yeah, this is Ilya speaking. I would support the recommendation. From my experience, the fact that there were two kinds of members who, however, participated in all deliberations and in all stroke laws, that was a matter of some confusion and didn't really mean too much. Actually, non-voting in all interpretations during my years on the NOMCOM just meant that these people did not participate in the final vote, which was in practice always unanimous. So that I would very much like to have this recommendation number 9. Thank you.
I did not understand the last bit. You seemed very faint. You would not like this recommendation?
I do like the recommendation. I like it.
You like it. Okay. Thank you. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you. And I'm trying not to speak today because if I speak, I breathe. And if I breathe, I cough. So my apologies if I suddenly, you know, sound like I'm about to shuffle off my mortal coil. Following on from Urio, in my years within the nominating committee, the only capital V vote that was ever taken was the final one on the final slate once all the deliberations had happened. And therefore it was only ever on the very last day, for the very last formal thing, that the two non-receiving bodies, that is the RSSAC and the SSAC, members were not fully and absolutely participatory. Now, we know that that can vary from NOMCOM to NOMCOM. So I sit, and I believe the at-large advisory committee is in full agreement with what Urio is saying and what I'm hopefully articulating clearly, is that we would believe that the members from the RSSAC and the SSAC and the GAC, any of the non-receiving bodies of ICANN, in other words, the entities that are not getting somebody from the nominating committee, should be fully participatory. and therefore we don't see any point in them not indeed exercising a final vote as well. So, Tom, we would see, I know you're speaking on behalf of the input from a component part of one half of the GNSO, but certainly from the advisory committee that Irio and I are engaged with, we were quite happy with this as a recommendation. So I think if we're going to do an analysis where we have a variation away from the recommendation, up to date certainly most of the recommendations have had wholesale support, we would need to do a full analysis, Tom. So thanks for raising the point from your constituency, but I think we would need to look at the total input of all of the public comments so that we can, you know, weigh the wider community concerns. So as I understand it, we're taking a first run through all of this and then coming back for a second bite of the cherry. So as we go back to the second bite of the cherry, let's flag this one and any other that any of you are aware of where your constituencies or component parts of ICANN, stakeholder groups, advisory committees, etc., where their advice was not in keeping with the recommendation, let's flag that and do a full analysis rather than a partial one by whoever happens to be here on the day. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Tom, you've got a hand up, and I also have, if that is to help, Tom, before after your comment, the text from the staff summary that pertains to this recommendation. Tom, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Tom for the record. And also, I'm actually not a member of the constituency that made this public comment, nor am I. I'm not in agreement with it either. So just to be fair, most of the commenters were in support of this recommendation. In fact, the RSAC made the, I think, the important point that now that the NOMCOM is also selecting members of the PTI, that it definitely has a much more, which it has much more concern about in terms of the board, that definitely they deserve to be full voting members. So I just want to make sure we consider the public comments and react to them. I bring them up not because I support them or not support them. But certainly, I'm not hearing any real dissent on the call today for this recommendation.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, and obviously it's also just to remind everybody that, I'm sure you know this, but this is not, this is not the final bite at the apple. So we know that we don't have everybody in the call today. So even if we were to say we leave this recommendation is for the time being, then moving forward, obviously we will come back to this and get the consensus level of the whole group before this is signed off on. All right, very good. Vanda seems to also agree with what Tom said. And Nadira also points out in the chat that as Tom just said, that the others were either in favor of the recommendation or, in fact, neutral. Right. Does anybody have any other comments, concerns on this recommendation? And I see Yvette, that Bruce Tonkin has joined as well. I'm just going to wait. He's just dialing out. If you don't mind, just wait a second to see when the phone indicates that Bruce is on the line. So before we move on, might give him the chance for the this recommendation. Welcome, Bruce. We've added you. Bruce, we're just on recommendation 9. We're just wrapping this up, so I hope you don't mind if I'm calling on you. I was wondering whether you had nobody had any qualifying comments or concerns about recommendation 9. There was some discussion on it, but everybody seems to be in agreement with this as well as the issue. I'm not sure whether you're available, but if you want to say something, go ahead. Otherwise, we'll move to the next point.
yeah, just go ahead on to the next point. Thanks.
Thank you, Bruce. All right. Actually, just to be sure, I'm just going back to aid very quickly to do this formally. So we're going to mark in the document that the IPT today agreed to the recommendation, number 9, agreed to consensus to the recommendation as well as the issue, and there is, for the time being, no qualifying comments or concerns about either being raised. And so it will be marked thusly in the document. Obviously, unless somebody makes themselves known right now, whatever form, I don't think that's the case. So we're going to move on to recommendation 10. The issue here, identified by the analysis group, is that there is concern that the NOMCOM may not accurately represent constituencies, both across SOACs and within the SONACs. And so recommendation 10 is that the representation of the NOMCOM should be rebalanced immediately and then be reviewed every 5 years. And with that, I'm going to put it back to the group. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Sorry. Told you I wasn't supposed to speak today. Thank you. Sorry. Remember, this is as an outcome of the way that the component parts of the GNSO have their seats, and of course the MPOC have no direct representation. And in fact, we have the difference in between small and big business and a few things like that. So it seems to me that this recommendation is suggesting that the community be engaged in a discussion and therefore rebalancing exercise. The NOMCOM was designed for certain changes of what the NOMCOM does came into play, and also some constituencies within the GNSO came into existence. I think this is a wise thing to suggest that a rebalancing exercise goes on at this time, because it is a topic of great concern to some parts of the GNSO community. And I think if it has the linkage with a regular review point, then the regular review point allows new and emerging interests to know when a review of the component part of their organisation and how it is or isn't represented in NOMCOM has a defined and planned point in time. And it's quite possible, of course, that at a future rebalancing exercise, when one goes to ask the question of does the NOMCOM makeup accurately represent the constituencies across the ACs, SOs and within the SOs, that you may end up with a shrinkage. You may say, no, there are too many at some future point in time. And that's healthy and okay as well. I like the regularity aspect of this. So from my point of view, I just wanted to make sure we understood why this one came about, what it particularly was triggered by. But the most critical part of it, in my view, in my very biased view, is this regularity of review. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Cheryl. I'm wondering whether, especially if there is consensus that to support this recommendation, whether there's any desire from the group to provide any thoughts or any input on what a rebalanced NOMCOM could look like. Obviously, everything has to be approved by the board, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the board would probably be keen to hear what the thoughts of the groups are on that.
Um, t- l- Lars, let me jump back in there. I don't think we want to re-litigate the work that the independent examiner has done. I think we need to be cautious there. They have made a recommendation, for example, elsewhere, and we've just decided we agree with it. But in general, the size, in general, maybe one seat on away, but the size is appropriate for the way that the ICANN nominating committee, and that's a bizarre thing in its own right, comes into play. This information was wrought out of interactions with the wider parts of the community and with a lot of representatives of the SAs and the ACs. And so I'd be very cautious that my personal view, which happens to be it should be no larger than 7 people. So I'm one of those right at the other end of the spectrum that says give 7 people to a leadership team of 3. You can leave them there for much longer periods of time and bugger off. Is right at the edge of the bell curve, and I shouldn't be allowed to bias design that in general the community has agreed to during this independent examiner process. I hear what you're saying, Lars, but I think the fact that what we would be implementing if we accept recommendation 10 as she is writ is a rebalancing. I think the implementation we'd be discussing would be that rebalancing exercise would be one that would be done with community input and by a community-based process, and which is actually really easy to implement, but not really fast to do. What that allows is for ICANN, as in the rank and file, to run this exercise, and it's a very important exercise of rebalancing, with as much openness and inclusiveness as possible, and to be able to ignore radical views like mine, because I'd be probably the only one. I don't know, maybe Bruce would join me on it, but, you know, Bruce and I are 2 against, you know, 202 with different views, and our voice should be, yes, okay, fine, thank you, Cheryl, but... Thanks.
2 Australians, though, Cheryl, to be fair. Your hand is up. Thank you for that, Cheryl.
Yeah, this is Ilya. Wanda says in the chat, this is a fairly general statement. It doesn't say in which way NOMCOM is not a balance, and it does not say in which way exactly it should be sort of rebalanced. So, I mean, I agree that the representation on the NOMCOM should be balanced, but I mean, on the basis of this, I would not proceed to any immediate rebalancing. I mean, just no. I said that the balance, to my mind, it is fairly balanced now, but I mean, I would not really like to start just rebalancing something that I don't even know which way it should go.
Thank you for that, Ariel. You mentioned Wanda. She's written in the chat as a general statement, and we agree, but we'll be by the community to better balancing representation to make it kind of determinant now might not be a good approach. And Nadira also agrees with Shell that the rebalancing should happen in consultation with the community. And Nadira points out to remember that the GAC representatives are at the moment not being appointed. All right, very good. So what I'm hearing, just to, for our purpose to kind of summarize, is that there's consensus both on the issue and the recommendation in principle. There is no desire to necessarily reword any of this. The qualifying vote, notes or comments are essentially that first of all, and I think it's a very important point, rebalancing doesn't mean making it bigger or smaller. It could be either, or it could be the same and just, giving the chairs out in different ways or the positions. And that the detailed recommendations of how and what rebalancing means and what the actual outcome would be should be done in the implementation phase and with appropriate community input. Obviously, that will be detailed later on or when the time comes. Is that an old hand you have up, or do you want to add to this? Okay, thank you. And Tom mentioned in the chat also to suggest that the future status of the GAC seed should be part of the rebalancing exercise, so it should be examined. And Vanda would agree with that. Very good. Unless anybody has either an objection to my summary or to the issue or the recommendation, as they stand, we will move on. I see that Nadira is still typing, so we'll wait for that, obviously. She agrees with Tom on the GAC seed, so that's obviously noted. Very good. Okay, we'll move on to recommendation 11. Right, recommendation 11, the issue is that the NOMCOM is highly dependent on ICANN staff support. There is concern that the NOMCOM staff is under-resourced, which has affected the functioning of the NOMCOM. Recommendation 11, the senior staff member supporting the NOMCOM should be accountable to and report to the office of the CEO. Very good. And if I can add to this, and I hope I'm not, I will double check. I will just double check my colleagues. I think to my understanding, the NOMCOM actually has just added a third support person to their team. There have been two so far, but I believe there are three now. I will double check that. So hold on for a second. Tom, please go ahead. Your hand is up.
Hi, this is Tom for the record. And I'm just reviewing the summary of the public comments. And I do think some of the, it's not reflected in the staff summary, but I do believe some of the public comments liked the idea, but wasn't sure if the office of the CEO was the correct department or if it should be part of, say, the HR department. But I think another part of the issue here is that certainly during my time in the NOMCOM, we completed 360 reviews of each other. I don't think there is a mechanism in place for us to submit reviews of the ICANN staff. And, the recommendation talks about how to make the staff supporting NOMCOM be accountable. And I think that's not only to someone in the ICANN organization, but also to NOMCOM itself. And so I'd want to add to this recommendation that there'd be some sort of way to review the NOMCOM staff itself and give that sort of feedback or 360 review mechanism in place.
Thank you, Tom. That's helpful. On my note, very quickly, there is a third staff member now on the NOMCOM support team. Vanda also mentioned that this is a little out of scope in her opinion, and Sam Eisner from our legal team commented there's recommendations within the CCWG Working Stream 2 on staff accountability issues as well. Sam will simply add to that in a minute. She's still typing.
Can I comment as well, Lars Vendredi? It's Bruce talking.
Please go ahead, Bruce. Bruce, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this probably a little more sort of terminology than anything, but maybe you could tell me what office of the CEO means. Does that mean the role of CEO being an individual role, or is that implying that the CEO has a separate staff in some way or a separate function in the organizational structure? I don't know whether you can answer that as staff or not, but I don't really understand the word.
Yeah.
Is it suggesting, to me, you'd be saying report to the CEO or you'd be reporting into a function. And normally the function that you would report into for something like this, I think as Tom has pointed out, certainly in the corporate world, the normal place for this would be HR, and I think the nominating committee role is basically a standard recruitment and appointment function. That's normally HR. So I would have thought that the head of the nominating committee would appoint to the head of HR who reports to the CEO. The CEO might have an executive team of which the head of HR is usually a member.
Thank you, Bruce. I am in no position to comment on that. I could hasten a guess, but I don't think that's helpful. Sam pointed out in the chat that she suggests the group would look at the recommendations out of Workstream 2 on the issue of how the community can provide input on staff performance. It's apparently addressed quite squarely in that recommendation. We'll be happy to maybe circle back to this one and provide the group with the necessary information from Workstream 2 if people think that's helpful.
And then just one other comment I'd make, Lars, just on Tom's comment. I don't think 360-degree feedback's the right terminology there, but it's certainly normally the staff is providing a function to the to a group. You would normally get the group to give feedback on the performance of that function just as part of any normal sort of customer feedback process. So I think feedback's the right word. I don't think it's a staff 360-degree review, but I think it is, there should, and it's probably counted in Sam's comments, but there should be a mechanism, you know, a survey of some sort that's done at the end of the process to assess the quality of support that was provided.
Thank you for that, Bruce. We have Nadira and then Tom on the queue. Nadira, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Regarding, I was just want to mention because not necessarily the whole staff comes from the same department. That's one of the problems. If they are reporting to the top of their department, because they can come from different departments. That's like exactly like what happened in our term. So they need to have some hierarchy in it. So I don't. So it's that it makes sense that the CEO will be the if they are coming, the staff coming from different departments, they have to have a focal point. Yeah. Okay. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Tom. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Tom. For the record, I want to support everything that Bruce has said. I do think HR is more appropriate. And I think feedback's a better term here than 360. I guess the third point I wanted to add was that there's another recommendation that talks about a standing committee for the NOMCOM. And this is one of those issues where that is somewhat delicate in the sense that if the NOMCOM or the NOMCOM leadership is not having a positive experience with ICANN staff, it's a little delicate to convey that if in fact they're going to continue to work with that person. So that's where a standing committee perhaps could be the conduit to collect that feedback and perhaps provide it back to either to the two if the ICANN staff person reports to.
Thank you, Tom. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thanks. I'm tired of you, and I thought I'll just speak. I wanted to just pick up, I'm sorry, I couldn't pick up a little bit earlier, but I stepped away from my computer to make myself a much needed cup of coffee. I think Sam's point is very important, and I think this group does need to look at the Workstream 2 recommendations on staff, because I think it gives us ideal points that we can integrate when we look at the suggestions of implementation. And what needs to be done out of this recommendation. I'm not personally all that fussed between the office of the CEO or HR, and HR is as good a place as any as far as I'm concerned, assuming that there is a direct line between the office of HR and the CEO. But the feedback aspect is important, and more than happy to see that also integrated into the system when we flesh this out a little bit more. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Appreciate that link, because there's an awful lot of good and community-based work in that document, and it's something that we can utilise as we look at the implementation of this recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, Jennifer, for those who haven't seen it, just pasted into the chat the link to the CCWG Version 2 final report, and she points out this recommendation 7 that Stan alluded to and Cheryl referenced as well just now. There's one other comment. No, Vanda also said, pointed out that parents' comments are relevant. Could be done after the close of the group in September, for instance, and give feedback on the performance of the CEO, for instance. Very good. I suspect the takeaway from this is that people agree in generally consent to both issue and recommendation, the qualifying notes about how this should be implemented and interpreted are probably subject to more discussion in this group, also taking into account the outcome of Version 2 that's relevant to this issue, and then potentially some additional comments on feedback / 360 in the sense of providing feedback on staff performances. Unless there is any concerns with that kind of rough summary, or there's anybody else who would like to add to this or have any opposition to what I said or to the recommendation itself, I suggest we move on to the next one. Very good. Recommendation 17. Very quickly. The issue here is that there is some disagreement over whether the NOMCOM should incorporate additional diversity requirements for its appointees. And the recommendation 17 that maintain the current diversity requirements for appointees, so making no changes. Right. Are there any questions or concerns about the issue, about the perception, whether there are diversity requirements, additional ones that should be incorporated, and/or the recommendation, which basically said to maintain the status quo regarding the diversity requirements for appointees? And I think there might be a typo in that note. Requisite. She's only in favor, Vanda, I'm sorry, says in the chat, she's only in favor to have a capacitation requisite, not diversity. And I'm sorry, English is not my first language. What do you mean by capacitation requisite? And then Nadira, both typing in the chat. Sorry for the time. I'm just waiting for that. Okay. So Vanda essentially says diversity is not as important as, I'm paraphrasing Vanda, as appointing the best members of the NOMCOM based on experience, teamwork, and personality, etc. Right, very good. Does anybody have any concerns or any comments on what Vanda said? Is that something, I'm sorry, I'm not so deeply familiar with the charter of the NOMCOM, but are those requisites already part of the current for the NOMCOM taking consideration for the current appointee? Is that something that this group thinks should be added? Cheryl, please.
Thank you. If I'm reading Van correctly, and I believe I am, she's supporting the recommendation that the current diversity requirements of the NOMCOM are more than adequate, and she's also making the point that diversity in its full definitions, as extensively as it can possibly be wrought, is not all that important when you compare to putting the very best candidates into the position. So diversity is an issue, but not the issue that a nominating committee should be considering. Now, certainly, on the nominating committees that I've served with, diversity was discussed and deliberated over and considered deeply, but the ultimate test was the best person for the job. And I think that's pretty much what Vanda was saying. Yes, I've got confirmation of that. And certainly it's something that I'd be very comfortable with as well. So this recommendation as she is writ is perfectly fine. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Cheryl. That was very helpful indeed. Very good. Does anybody have anything to add? Otherwise, we will continue on the assumption that everybody agrees with the or consents to the issue and the recommendation. There's no modification sought. And we will move on. So this will, in a surprise twist, bring us to the end of the recommendations for the charter. We breezed through the six recommendations. And we suggested to have the evaluation category up next for no particular reason. I think it was probably the most popular category that people had signed up for on the Doodle when we thought to be working in subgroups. And so with that, unless anybody has any question or concerns about any of the issues or recognition you talked about, we move on, and Ange just confirmed kindly that it's arranged for popularity indeed. Very good. So with that, this kind of falls under the broad umbrella of the evaluation of the NOMCOM of candidates, one assumes. That the issue here identified by the analysis group is that the role and effectiveness of the professional evaluation firm, previously OB Frankfurt, in fact, as they would say, it generates some disagreement within the IPM community, and the recommendation is a professional evaluation consultant should continue to be involved in the evaluation process for board candidates. The role of the evaluation consultant should be clarified and published. Yeah, just for your comment. Yes, that's right. But we won't tell them, you see. Right, very good. So I have actually a question to especially those members on the call who have been on the NOMCOM. It says here evaluation process for board candidates. Is the independent evaluation firm not used for any other of the appointees, only for the board? That would be a question that I have. And then Nadira has her hand up. Nadira, please take the floor. Board only. Thank you, Tom. Nadira, please go ahead.
Yeah, my concerns about the published result. So the consultant should be clarified and published, the evaluation. So do you mean the evaluation here method or the evaluation report? I think you have to be clear in the wording, the evaluation criteria. To be clarified when published, something missing in the text, I think.
Nadira, as I read it, it would be that the exact role of what the consultant would do should be clearly laid out and be publicly available to everyone. So, do they just send the NOMCOM CVs? Do they interview them? Do they make a recommendation? Who's the best person? I suspect that would be kind of the, you know, the scope of their work should, I presume,
okay.
be detailed and published. That's how I would read it. It doesn't mean
yeah.
it's correct.
Now, when you explained it, I read it this way, yes.
We've got Tom and Cheryl on the queue. Tom, please.
This is Tom, for the record. And I think this is a recommendation, or this is an issue that is addressed by several recommendations in the report. So, for example, and it's not just handled by this one recommendation. So the issue of the role and effectiveness of the professional evaluation firm, for example, one way that is addressed is a recommendation that talks about making sure you have job descriptions when you start the cycle. And of course, that job description then would be shared with your evaluation firm. So that's another recommendation that feeds into this issue. The next issue actually on the list, which is number 13, talks about publishing a process diagram. And again, that is a way to address the role of the evaluation consultant and making sure it's clarified and published. So I just want to make sure that, or point out anyway, that this issue is actually addressed by several recommendations. And so this recommendation doesn't capture, I think, everything that's going on regarding this issue.
Thank you, Tom. Just looking at the chat very quickly. There's no hand up at the moment. Vanda points out that the community might be worried about the influence on the decision, I assume, of the evaluation firm. And Cheryl says it only proves and perhaps, only process and perhaps rationale for end criteria utilized with external evaluation would be clarified and published. Yes, thank you, Cheryl. And Cheryl is still typing. But Cheryl is typing. Has anybody else any concerns or questions or clarifying points on this recommendation? Cheryl just points out that this obviously means there's then no exposure. You know, if those were the criteria that we published, there would be no conclusion of candidates. That should happen, but candidates and potential candidates would benefit by the publication along with the ICON community. She's apparently coughing at the same time, which I'm sorry about. I've got a cough at home as well at the moment, so not me, luckily. Do we have any objection, or does anybody withhold consent then to the issue or the recommendation as they stand? I think we made a couple of clarifying comments here, that especially what is meant by a clarification and publication. I think Cheryl put it quite well in the writing. I won't reread it, but we'll pick that up for our summary note. Angie just pointed out very quickly to Tom to Tom's point that the consultant is also addressed in recommendation 5, 19, and 20. They fall under different categories. And so we will come back to those, I think, at a later stage, potentially to 20 in just a minute. Very good. And there seems to be no objection to this. And with that, we will move on to the next recommendation. The issue here is that the NOMCOM has made progress in increasing the extent to which it preserves policies and procedures from year to year. However, it still, quote-unquote, reinvents the wheel on many processes and exhibits a lack of continuity. And the recommendation 13 to address this is to publish a process diagram and codify key elements of the NOMCOM process. Each year, the NOMCOM should be required to highlight and explain process changes to the community in an open session. Do we have any comments on this, any questions, any concerns? It seems that this goes also a little bit hand-in-hand with the two-year term that we discussed earlier, and maintaining or preserving institutional knowledge Rwanda agrees that the idea should be to avoid as much as we can changes from one year to another. Tom has his hand up. Tom, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Tom for the record. This particular issue, I think, is certainly is a much bigger issue than what the recommendation itself is referring to. It's in terms of building institutional knowledge, it's much more than just publishing a process diagram and codifying the process. So it has to do with how data is shared from year to year. It's not just the process, but other, you know, surveys and templates. But I think some of the public comments are interesting as well, in the sense that they feel this is an area where there should be more transparency and accountability to the community by NOMCOM in terms of what their process is going to be and if they intend to change it to make sure that is publicized as well. So I think the recommendation probably could be expanded to cover some additional points there.
Thank you, Tom. Do you have anybody who wants to comment on some suggestion here of expanding the recommendation?
Could you repeat that, Lars?
I was just wondering whether anybody would like to react to what you said, Tom, about expanding the recommendation. Earlier is typing. Wait for that.
Hey, Lars, if I could just jump back in.
Please
do. This is Tom for the record. So this is another example where there is another recommendation that directly addresses this issue, which is the standing committee. Again, is the idea of the standing committee is to provide some continuity that's missing today.
This is helpful. Thank you for that, Tom. So I'm signing because Ari is still typing. I just want to wait for that. There seems to be no other hands in the AC room, we are typing. So Ari agrees with Tom. Institutional memory is a bigger question. NOMCOM final report already explains what happened during the term of the NOMCOM. Okay, very good. Right. So it seems that in principle there is consent for both the issue and recommendation, albeit with maybe the need to expand on that a little bit, so we will capture that in the explanatory notes, the documents that we'll put together and send out, as we do with all the recommendations. And unless anybody objects to that, or withholds their consent rather, I will move on to recommendation 20. Which I believe brings us back to the evaluation consultancy. There we are. Oh dear. So here's an issue, which is that the NOMCOM does not always evaluate candidates in a consistent manner. And it has three recommendations associated with that. I think we tackle these one by one, looking at the time, we have 20 minutes. The evaluation consultant should undertake a preliminary screen of all board candidates and provide blinded assessments to the NOMCOM to assist the NOMCOM with reducing the pool of candidates to the deep dive shortlist. So I assume that probably means that the consultancy would do some form of assessment and basically provide the NOMCOM with a shorter list than they, I assume, do at the moment. Nadira. Nadira, we can't hear you. I'm so sorry.
No, I was switching. Sorry, the mute
okay.
on.
We can hear now.
Yeah. Regarding the, like this year we did, I think the process was a little bit different, and I think there was an efficiency, especially with the intercessional meeting that happened in D.C., because in fact we did kind of, we got the evaluation, the consultant evaluation, and we got his point of view, but individually, like each one of us, review the whole candidate. So we in at the intercessional, and we handled every single applicant, and I find that it's more accurate, more like give fairness, and referring to what the consultant had evaluated, it wasn't really it of a help. That I thought that the method we followed, it was kind of very fair for every single applicant. So I don't think I don't believe that there is an importance for the evaluator, the consultant to provide assessment.
Okay, so. Maybe I'm going to put words to your mouth. It seems that you don't support the recommendation as it stands at the moment, based on your experience from this year. We have Cheryl, who voices support for recommendation 20. Ario is typing still. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this?
I support the recommendation, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. And for those who was a little bit metallic, just Bruce supports the recommendation. And Cheryl's already jumping ahead to 21. And Nadira, please go ahead, your hand is back up.
Yeah, in fact, why kind of I want to justify why we have this. In one of our deep dives, like without having this interview with this, the evaluation of this wasn't really that strong, but it make it to the second round. And when the deep dive, we could find the strength of this candidate is so strong. So sometimes they will, if we are depending the cut of the some of the candidates from according to the external evaluator, the consultant, we are losing good candidates. That's my point of view. That's why it's important to have the full committee screen every single applicant.
Okay, very good. Aria also has a concern about the process where a consultant makes the first selection and whether NOMCOM itself does not have access to all data, and Sandra agrees with that statement as well. Do you have anybody else who agrees with that or disagrees with any of the concerns? Bruce, obviously, you have been noted.
Lars, Cheryl here.
Cheryl, please go ahead. Sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Thank you. That's okay. Cheryl, for the record, let's listen again to what this recommendation says, that the evaluation consultant should undertake a preliminary screen of all board candidates and provide blind assessments to the NOMCOM to assist the NOMCOM with reducing the pool of candidates to the deep dive shortlist. It does not say the evaluation consultant should shorten the list. It says it, as professionals in assessments, people that we are paying and whose professional input is by definition, something that we should be able to trust and utilise, taking away any biases from the variability and experience of our own NOMCOM members from year to year, that they would do an initial triage, an initial sifting and sorting. It's not saying, and the NOMCOM won't have access to the data. It's not saying, and the NOMCOM has to blindly, pardon the pun, follow this assessment. It's saying this is a tool, regular and predictable, that any NOMCOM could and should use. and I think it's a good one. I'm seeing, you know, concerns about that, you know, NOMCOM wouldn't have access to all the data. That is not what this recommendation says. It says the external consultant will do a professional job and provide professional information and advice in blind assessment form to the NOMCOM. Then the NOMCOM can make valuable use out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Just very quickly, there's Vanda made a note in the chat as well that she's be able to have the consultant, but I've seen not complete evaluation of the consultant for some candidates. I suspect that might be addressed maybe with this recommendation. Nadira, I'm going to get to you in a moment. I'm just going to read Bruce's comment. Bruce thinks that there are two issues here. One is scaling issue. Most members of the NOMCOM, I doubt, have time to do a thorough review of hundreds of applications. If we require that workload of nominating committee members, it will limit those that would have the time to participate in the NOMCOM. I suspect Bruce is continuing to type with the second point, but Nadira, why don't you jump in? Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's because regarding the external evaluation, what was an issue for us is the
Nadira, Nadira, I'm going to interrupt you rudely. I think your computer might not be muted. There's a terrible echo.
Okay, yes, maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm talking about the budget, the amount of the external consultant charges. It was amazingly, we were shocked when we realized the value. We were expecting the one who recruits to have more money than the evaluating, but it was different. The evaluator, they were asking a big budget, and in fact that we utilized that for the intersessional to discuss the and individually every single applicant. The screening was kind of skimming screening, because regarding to the point Bruce mentioned, we didn't go into like thorough. Some of our NOMCOM, they did thorough, but when we met, we went thoroughly the intersessional. We thoroughly discussed that the applicant. So it also it has pros and cons. When we talk about limited budget. That's another concern with this point, recommendation 20, is the budget concerns also. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Nadira. Just very quickly, Bruce's second point. First, Cheryl agrees with Bruce's first point about assessing hundreds of people add to the workload might limit the number of participants for the NOMCOM. Cheryl said that last time she checked, very few of the NOMCOM had the best professional qualifications to make these sort of professional assessments, but they can, of course, use the expert advice from an external consultant. And then Bruce made a second point. At least for the board, is that most of the nominating committee the NOMCOM generally doesn't have people with a lot of significant board experience, so at least for role. Sorry, Bruce, I'm on a struggle bus here.
Yeah, I'll read it if you like, Lars. Sorry, it was a bit hard to type.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, look, I think my point is probably similar to Cheryl's, but there's not, at least when you're looking at the board, there's not a lot of people on the NOMCOM that's got significant board experience, and so I think it benefits from having an outside firm that specialises in finding board directors to actually do at least an initial narrowing of the pool. And the strength of the nominating committee then becomes more looking at the sort of cultural and behavioural aspects and looking at to see whether this person is a good fit for ICANN versus whether or not they've got board experience.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Tom just spoke to the budget here in the chat, pointing out that the consultant doesn't normally evaluate all 100-plus candidates. And Vanda agrees that the consultant make a good job helping the non-com. What we need to assure the variation is equal for all. Sorry, this is shifting up. Or I guess this so I think Vanda, I'm not entirely sure about the second part of that sentence. I'm sorry, but I think it seems that you also think in general the experience or the work of the consultant might be helpful. Michelle says the professional service costs what they do, but that can be planned for and predictable with EOIs. And I feel I should know that, but I don't. Probably a budget term for the consultant. And you said the consultant has its role, but I somehow resent the idea that NOMCOM would abdicate its duty in the preliminary phase of the process. At least during my time in the NOMCOM, every NOMCOM member was clearly required to go through all applications. There are not hundreds of them, at most 100 plus. Cheryl points out that the application is not riskier, respect to the point she made earlier about the consultant of reducing the list, but providing a more of a deep dive analysis that can be taken into account. And we have the Bruce and Vanda typing in the chat. And just for funsies, by the way, I'd like to throw in that I asked Jennifer to quickly take a look at the survey that the group took beforehand to indicate support and opposition to the recommendations, and this received a very helpful 50-50 split. So eight people, 16 responses, 8 were in favor and 8 were in opposition. Bruce says he's done a lot of recruitment for senior roles. I've never had to read through 100 applications. I'd like to have a shot at about 5 to 10 and then interview them. Oh, Eli, expression of interest. Thank you, Cheryl. Yes, I knew I should have known that. We have Vanda and Nadira still typing in the chat. So what Vanda pointed out in the past was some candidates were not equally evaluated. Probably the consultant could not find or didn't have access to information, but this needs to be more clear. And Maria said, I think the provision of job description, one assumes for the board role, the number of applications, I assume, will be reduced. Yes, this is another example where a written job description will help to guide the consultant in their work. Just to see, I mean, I'm just going to have a stab at this. And it is 5 minutes to go, so I think this is our last point anyway. So it seems that, in general, people agree to the consultant, it's useful. I think there is a concern in some quarters that the consultant would kind of, read through applications and then withhold them, those that they think, don't make the cut according to them, and so the NOMCOM would have had access to fewer candidates than they would have otherwise had. Cheryl reads this differently, If the group were to add something in those lines, the explanatory notes make this very explicit to say that, the consultant shouldn't withhold any information and the non-com should always have access to all candidates and all information, but they should provide the non-com, with an assessment and I presume a suggested shortlist. Is that something that could maybe help resolve this? Sure, please go ahead.
There you go. I think I've muted myself. Thank you, Lars, Cheryl, for the record. Again, it clearly says giving the assessments to the NomCom to assist the NomCom with reducing the pool of candidates to the deep dive shortlist. Now, English is my first language, although really it's Australian, which is only a very distant relationship to actual English. But I think that's very, very clear. I guess we can make it even clearer with an explanatory note saying this is not an indicator of any removal of access, et cetera, of the NomCom to, you know, material from all of the applicants. But I'm a great believer in actually having predictability in these processes. And what's missing is even the predictability that an independent examiner should be used. I mean, I think we should have independent examiners. I think they should have very particular jobs. I think that should be predictable from year to year. I think the tools to evaluate what they give a nominating committee should also be highly predictable and indeed public. And I think, you know, all of this allows for the candidates to know what they should be putting in their application so that the candidates provide all of the most appropriate material for the evaluators, both external and independent, and internal in the nominating committee, to effectively and accurately make a value judgment on their suitability for the roles. So, you know, this is an important bit, but, you know, some nominating committees, you know, think that they have to sort of fight for their existence or the meaningfulness of what they do, when in fact, you know, their role is really quite clear and vitally important in terms of they make the appointments. Doesn't get more powerful than that. But some of them that I've seen seem to also want to maximise their workload because of some, you know, bizarre desire to prove they're doing a good job by the number of hours spent on it. Anyway, up to you all as well, but that's my view. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. Nadira, let me just quickly read Bruce's point, and then I'll give you the floor, if that's okay. Bruce just very quickly agrees that the job description is a good starting point, and also ensure a good job description will ensure that application provides sufficient detail to allow the evaluation. There's some feedback to applicants that miss out might help them to provide better information for a future NomCom round. Bruce also likes the use of blinded assessments. Tom was going to ask blinded to whom. I think that in the Bruce response in the initial stages, it is usual to not share the names of the applications, but to look at the qualifications and experiences as a starting point. Otherwise, people use their biases of past interactions with the candidate. I think this is important, given I am guessing that many applications are participants in the ICANN community. And with that, Nadira, over to you with not much time left.
Yeah, I read Cheryl's point regarding the recommendation by the external reviewer, consultant. But my point, the report they provided from earlier NomCom members, they said they were useless. So if we want like to add the way they're reporting, the quality of the report, it's important because I tried also to review the report that was provided earlier. They didn't provide just kind of very short line not strings. In a way, they were just reducing kind of. Highlighting some of the points into the report, not giving a recommendation. So it's important to mention that the way the quality of the report of the consultant and this, I don't know how to bring it to recommendation 20.
Thank you for that, Nadira. That's helpful. Tom just asked whether 20 implies, and I'm conscious of the time. I think we should wrap this up, but I'd like to bring this just to a quick landing. Whether the 20 recommendation 20 implies that the candidates, that the identity of candidates that were held from the NOMCOM until after they review the blinded assessment. Nadira, I suspect that opinion has more to do with the NOMCOM members' own experience and biases. Yeru, plus one to Tom's question. I suspect that it's something, we can obviously ask the independent examiner to clarify this. I would have no problem reaching out. Bruce said that that is his understanding, so that the NOMCOM would only get an assessment of the candidates without their names. So the NOMCOM is also not biased in their reading of the assessment. I would personally, for what it's worth, agree with that interpretation too, but as I said, I'm happy to reach out. It's already 2 minutes past. I suggest we wrap this up, we can discuss off-list whether we continue the discussion next week or we move on to the next recommendation. In either case, we will summarize this in the document and circulate this later. For those of you who are not on the call in the beginning, every document is in the Google Drive. We will continue to update the document there. And we'll also share that link with you again once the documents from this week have been uploaded. Next week, we will meet at the same time. We will continue with recommendation 21 and then move on to the next category. Although I don't really have done a count in detail, I believe we are probably over halfway through. So I think that bodes very well for our progress. Unless there's any other questions or concerns on this, I would suggest we end the recording, and we will all see you at the same time next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.